Segment 16, Your Acts with God Now. It is 20th of October 2010 from Gurgaon, India. And I would like to read from Acts chapter 15, verse 32. They returned back from Jerusalem. They means Paul, Barnabas, Titus, and Judas, Silas. They came back to Antioch of Syria. This is 51 AD. This is 14 years after Paul's conversion and 22 years from the Pentecost. And Judas and Silas, this is verse 32, Acts 15, being prophets also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And verse 33, and after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. And verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And verse 36, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. Verse 37, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed on to Cyprus. John Mark is nephew of Barnabas, Barnabas' sister's son, who did not continue in the first missionary itinerary from Pamphylia area, pretty much right after leaving from Cyprus. So John Mark left. And Paul, at this time, didn't want to take John Mark. Now Barnabas, he wanted to take his nephew. And we will see, verse 40, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now when it comes to Barnabas and Mark, it doesn't say that being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Believers or the leadership in Antioch of Syria, they recognize that Paul was making the right decision. And here, the scripture says that being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And another point here is that Barnabas and Mark didn't go to Syria, Cilicia, and then moving in the land route to Iconium, Lystra, and so forth. Barnabas moved into his own field, which is Cyprus, whereas Paul moved on to his field, which is Antioch, Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and so forth. They knew which one was their own fields. And we know here in Romans chapter 15:20 says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. He wasn't interested to build a house on another man's foundation. So he moved into his own area where God directed him to go. in the first missionary itinerary. And Barnabas moved to where he was led to go, which was Cyprus. And here we will notice that after this verse 39, the name of Barnabas does not appear at all. So it shows that who was really moving with God. This one decision of Barnabas, who was wonderful, who encouraged Paul, who saw for Paul, or came all the way from Jerusalem to Antioch of Syria and brought Saul to Antioch of Syria, helped him to rise up, and they saw great things together. But something happened to Barnabas' heart that he didn't want to move forward with Paul. And in Galatians, we will see Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. This was in Acts chapter 15, that meeting together with the apostles and elders concerning the question of circumcision. And then I read from verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compelst thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So Barnabas, after having been to Jerusalem with Paul at the time of question of this, whether circumcision is required to be saved or not, it looks like Barnabas was influenced, became respecter of persons like James. He was the pillar of the church who gave the sentence, the final say of that meeting in Jerusalem. And here in Acts 15, choosing of John Mark, who is his nephew, again, respect of person rather than pleasing God. It is very, very important at Galatians chapter 1, and it says, 1:10, For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servants of Christ. So this is very, very important for us. Are we going to please man or God? And it is very subtle. And subtly it will infiltrate us if we let it. The time in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 15, Barnabas must have had a great time with the apostles, the reputed ones, and something must have happened. Barnabas was given preference over Paul during this time. Remember that Barnabas spoke first, and then Paul, in Acts chapter 15, and I'll read that, chapter 15, verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Something definitely had happened, took place, that subtle attack to Barnabas, that he began to respect men, to please men, rather than God, and which is written here. And I have read in Galatians chapter 2:11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him on to the face, and so forth. Even Barnabas, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. So what are we going to do? Are we going to please man? Are we going to persuade man? Or are we going to please God? And Paul, it was to please God. Therefore, he continued to produce a result. Barnabas somehow went off track at this time. Yes, Barnabas desired to live for God, and I'm sure he continued to live for God and preached the gospel as they moved to, they means Barnabas and John Mark moved to Cyprus. But their names are not written. Barnabas' name doesn't appear from Acts chapter 15:40 onward to the end. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. We need to move with God. And we need to be humble, meek. We don't give any opportunities to be proud. We should never think that we have attained. No, we are to stay humble. And then God will exhort you in due time. So Paul guarded his heart and stayed humble and meek. And we need to do that. Okay, if we do that, humility, meekness, very important thing for us. Barnabas and Mark moves to Cyprus. And verse 40, and Paul chose Silas. And I'm sure that Paul's choosing Silas was by God. He pleased God. He was looking to God and doing what God wanted him to do. And it is very simple. You and I can do this. We can become very, very effective, productive, by simply doing what God is working in our hearts to do, what God is directing us to do. The leading of the Spirit of God. We just move with the direction of God. Now, in order for God to direct us, to lead us, we need to stay humble. We need to desire to be led by God. And Paul and Silas, it was obvious the church in Antioch of Syria saw that they were doing the will of God. They, means Paul and Silas, were doing the will of God. That's why they recommended unto the grace of God. They recommended Paul and Silas unto the this grace of God. And verse 41, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So they went to these places to confirm, establish, exhort, encourage the churches. Now, churches are believers, leaders. And then we come over to chapter 16. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was at Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now this Timothy, and it is said that he was a disciple. He was a disciplined one. And he was in the area of Derbe and Lystra. Now, we will read 2 Timothy chapter 3. Read from verse 10, talking to Timothy. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Verse 11, persecution, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Timothy knew all these things. Doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. And remember, in Lystra, Paul was stoned, and he was taken outside of the city, and he was dead. And then he was surrounded by the disciples, and they raised Paul from the dead. Timothy knew about that. He might have been one of the disciples who was right there seeing Paul being raised up from the dead. And he was a young man right here. And verse 2, which was well reported of the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. I want to read 1 Timothy 4:12. Timothy was a young man. And 4:12 here. First Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. During the first visit, first missionary itinerary of Paul, Timothy might have been there already, and he was a lot younger. So at this second visit, the missionary itinerary, it might have been 5 years later, six, maybe 7 years later, that Paul came over to Derbe, Lystra, that area, and Iconium. So this young man, Timothy, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium, he had good report. And God directed Paul in verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him. He was a young man, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. We know that in Galatians, and we will see in Galatians what Paul, and in this Romans through Thessalonians, that Paul taught that we are not under the law of Moses, Galatians chapter 5 verse 2 says, "Behold, I Paul say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." So, Paul, was he a hypocrite? No, he was not a hypocrite. God was working in him. He was pleaser of God. He was being led by the Spirit of God. And as Romans chapter 7 verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." He was not walking by the flesh, carnally minded. He was spiritually minded. And he was able to serve the law of God. And Romans 8:2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." So, he was able, like you and I are able, to do the perfect will of God at every moment as we are led by the Spirit of God. We are able to please God every time as we are spiritually minded, allowing the Spirit of God to work in us, and that we move according to the Spirit of God, the direction. And Paul did that at this time. He knew what was the best thing to do for this young leader, Timothy. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 9:19. "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law." Verse 22, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I might make all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake," verse 23, "that I might be partaker thereof with you." So that was the reason. There was a bigger picture that God had for Timothy. Therefore, Paul, in Acts 16:3, "him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek." That means they knew that Timothy was not circumcised. And Timothy's father was not a proselyte either. That means who accepted the word of God through Judaism and adopted the Jewish religion. In such a case, they would receive circumcision and water baptism and accept into Judaism. The Jews in that quarters knew that because of Timothy's father, who was not a proselyte, knew that Timothy was not circumcised. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Now, what kind of decree was that? Initially, in Acts chapter 15, certain ones came to Antioch of Syria and preached that unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. And this caused confusion at various places, various locations where Paul preached, because there are both Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. Jewish believers were already circumcised, whereas the Gentile believers weren't circumcised. So there could have been pressure from the Jewish believers that the Gentile believers should also receive circumcision. Or confusion, just not knowing exactly what to do. So this decree from Jerusalem, which is spoken by James, who was the pillar of the church, and that is in Acts 15:23, and they wrote letters by them after this manner: the apostles and elders and brother send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. So these certain brethren might have gone also on to Syria and Cilicia and trouble you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that hazard their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare you well. So that was the message. What James was saying now to the Gentiles, that they are not required to keep the law and to have circumcision. James, this message also implies that the Jewish believers, they would continue the law and circumcision, which is the greater burden. But for the Gentile believers, you are different, so don't have to carry greater burden. That you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. But this definitely helped the Gentile believers to focus. This decree had removed the confusion that the Gentile believers to stay put with the gospel of God that Paul preached among the Gentiles. Now, Jewish believers, they had a choice. But Paul preached this gospel to the Jews also, Jewish believers also, that you don't need to keep the law. You are saved by the grace of God. So what established and encouraged the Gentiles was that they don't have to do the law of Moses and to be saved. And verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Confusion, out of focus, then believers, churches won't be established. So here, the right message that the Gentiles, you don't need to keep the law of Moses. And they were able to continue with the gospel of God that Paul preached. Romans to Thessalonians. So what happens? The result is, so were the churches, plural, established in the faith and increased in number daily. Here, the doctrine is clear. Paul preached the Gospels, which are the information given in from Romans through Thessalonians, and then received a reinforcement right here. The decree from the apostles was the reinforcement. So, Jews or Jewish believers could not put any more force, any more additional information or instruction to the Gentile believers that, well, still you need to do things like us. We are to keep the law, or we need to have circumcision. And I'm sure they are not all Jewish believers in this area where Paul traveled to preach the gospel, believe that they have to keep the law. They accepted the gospel of God that Paul preached. But some of them didn't completely accept that good news. But for the Gentile believers, the direction was clear. And Paul's gospel had free course. No more obstacles, no more confusions, no more external convincing, persuading of the Gentiles that they also need to be circumcised and keep the law. Therefore, the churches established, plural, churches in those areas, in the faith. And the faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And increased in number daily. So that's available. That is available. And the gospel of God, or the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto wholeness, salvation. And Paul preached that. Romans through Thessalonians, instruction, information, doctrine, reproof, and correction. In that information, God reveals His righteousness, His right way, His right way of believing, faith. How born-again believers who are filled with Holy Spirit is to think, to expect, to know. It gives that instruction, information, so that our faith, expectation is on the power of God and to be led by His Spirit, knowing that we are sons and daughters of God. Grace be to us. Grace be to you and peace. And that God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. It's already done. That's the gospel of Christ. It gives you what has been done. Therefore, who you are, what you are capable of, the wonderful message. So the churches were established. Incredible message. This gospel of God is an incredible message. There is therefore now no condemnation. You are seated at the right hand of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That sin shall not have dominion over us. That we can serve the law of God with our mind. Because we got the Spirit of God dwelling in us. We can know the things which are freely given unto us. Because we have the Spirit of God. And then it encourages us to move forward. To be led by the Spirit of God. And this gospel of God will enable us to do exactly what Jesus Christ said in Acts chapter 1:8. It says, "But you shall receive power, manifest power, utilize power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And now we are reading Acts from the church epistles point of view. We have received the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of Christ, Christ in us. Therefore, we utilize the Spirit of God. We manifest the Spirit of God. And from which timing point of view? Which time? As soon as we are born again, as soon as we are saved, Romans 10:9, we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believed in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. And we are absolutely saved. We receive that Holy Spirit, and from that same moment, instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ was to manifest it. Use this Spirit as He has walked. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We can understand now in place of Christ. That's who we are. From 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We can see how I can walk in Christ's stead and utilize the power of God to be led by the Spirit of God and become very effective. All of us, we are as Christ. We are in His stead. We are seated at the right hand of God. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 2, grace be to you. That's the message. No longer works. The decree clarified all the confusion that the Gentiles doesn't have to abide by the law of Moses. They don't have to do those things to be saved. But Paul's preaching, the gospel that he preached among the Gentiles, that was the main thing that they could focus, which is grace be to you, to an individual, and peace, therefore peace, that God works with you. God has worked, God works with you, God shall work with you, so you can have peace. We can take all the things to God. Pray without ceasing. We can give our desire toward God and let Him do. Let the mighty God, the Most High, the Most Powerful God who created the heaven and earth, to move for us, to do things for us that we don't have to do everything by ourselves. Jesus Christ said, I can do nothing of myself. And that's how we tap in. We depend totally on God. The grace be to you. This is a wonderful message. And therefore we can say, thank you. Thanks be to God. Now, thanks be unto God who always calls us to triumph. He causes us to triumph. Not 20% of my effort with 80% of God. No, thanks, 100% thanks be unto God. He calls me to triumph. Therefore, grace be to you and peace from where? God, and who is that? Our Daddy, Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, our God, hath blessed us. Past tense, done. The church epistles focus on done. It's done, therefore you move. You have it, so you move it. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He, God, hath chosen us in Him. God has chosen you. He will not choose you. He has chosen you. You don't have to work hard to be chosen by God. No. The gospel of God, it's clear message. The church was established in the faith with this message. the church epistles message, and according as He, God, had chosen us in Him before the overthrow of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The great revelation, the encouraging words, these are encouraging words, says that you are in the Holy of Holies without blame. You are holy and right in front of God, who is our Father. We are face to face with Him. It's not that we will be one day if we do this or that, or we will get out of His presence if we do this and that. No more away from His presence. Nothing shall separate us from our God. The wonderful works of Jesus Christ have entered us, brought us into God's presence forevermore, permanently. Nothing to do with our own works took us in front of God, holy and without blame. So any of our works will get us out from God's presence. You cannot go away. You cannot go away by your sin, walking by the flesh, walking in darkness. Even will not take you away from God's presence. You are always holy and without blame in front of God. So we are to be spiritual minded. When even we are feeling that we are away, that's five senses minded, carnal minded. That's carnal minded. Then switch back. You are in front of God, holy and without blame. We have boldness and access to Him. Having, verse 5, predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. He has made us His sons, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. He has made us accepted. We are acceptable. So that message Paul preached, encouraged the believers. And the believers, they became confident, their faith established in the faith. They are going to God. They are expecting from God. Like here, 4, chapter 2, verse 18, for through Him we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have access, approach to the Father. 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. So that message really got them established. This is Acts 16. And as a result, the churches, he says, so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. The word of Jehovah runs very swiftly. It is very, very important for us to focus on the right doctrine. Wrong doctrine came in Acts chapter 15, confused the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. Might have caused division. But God led Paul and Barnabas to go to Jerusalem, and that they brought these questions to the apostles and elders. And before the meeting, I'm sure Paul and Barnabas sat with the top leaders, the reputed ones, the pillars, Peter, James, John, and other apostles, I'm sure. And they communicated the gospels that they preach among the Gentiles. And Peter was enlightened, remembered what he had seen, what God has shown him when he was led, directed to go to see Cornelius. As he obeyed, he saw great and wonderful things, that God had saved the Gentiles, just like the Jews on the day of Pentecost. They also spoke with tongues, and it was by grace of God. And that was what it was, grace of God. Now James, he accepted that the Gentiles can be saved. And they didn't have to do the law of Moses and to be circumcised. For the Gentiles, James' final sentence was that they don't have to do that. But he held that the Jewish believers, they are continue to do the law and so forth. But that clarification, that enabled the Gentile believers and the Jewish believers in those areas that Paul preached, Syria, Cilicia, Iconium, and so forth, to be focused. They were able to be focused and enabled to be established in the faith of those things that Paul and Barnabas preached to them earlier. And then Paul continued to encourage with the gospel of God that things briefly I share with you, that God had blessed you with all spiritual blessings, that you are completely complete in Him. And this word of God, which is addressed to us, Romans to Thessalonians, to those who have the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Christ, Christ in the body of Christ, the church of God, the temple of God, we are to live by it. This will enable us to tap into God in a mighty way. And through us, through this gospel of God, and which is the right doctrine, right words, that we become very, very productive. And we are to be humble, meek, stay connected with those who teach the right doctrine. How do you know someone is teaching the right doctrine? You look at their life. What are they producing? Acts shows us the fruit. When someone, for example, Peter, John and the apostles, they were led by the Spirit of God from the day of Pentecost. They were productive. God's will is all men to be saved and all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. The growth, increase, addition, multiplication is the result of us being led by the Spirit of God. The fruit, the evidence, and which is very clearly shown in this Acts, your Acts now, even today. So, let us go to God with all of our heart and love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, because that's the only way we can really live this life. Seek God with all of our heart. Seek Him first. That's the only way we can do. Set our affection on things above. That's the way to go. No other way. 50-50. Live for the world and then live for God. No. Just one track minded. Moving towards God, which will enable us to live the life which is more than abundant. All these things shall be added unto you. Absolutely. So, henceforth, live unto Him. No longer to live unto ourselves, but henceforth, live unto Him, knowing that you are sons and daughters of God, as He is. You are in Christ's stead, and that God has given you the service of reconciling the world unto Him, God, just like Christ did then, and that God has committed unto you already the word to reconcile people back to Him. The words are in your mouth. The word of faith is in your mouth. Now we desire to God, God, give me my field. I desire my field. I desire the works that which you have before ordained that I should walk in it. Desire it. You need to do that. God needs your free will, a response. And that intense desire will enable God to move and in response to those wonderful desires that you have. And through you, see, you are Christ as He is. Through you, God will do mighty things and continues to do mighty things. You are the light of this world. And until Christ returns, we keep moving forward with Him.